Donald Jeffries.
Donald Jeffries.
Author of Hidden History and Survival of the Richest. Host of The Donald Jeffries Show. Billy Ray Valentine.
Billy Ray Valentine.
Host of the Infinite Fringe podcast. Researcher, truth seeker from the Bronx, New York. Tony Arterburn.
Tony Arterburn.
Radio host, combat veteran, precious metals analyst, and alt historian. Together, they take on the headlines of the week, decode the disinformation, and plow through the mainstream propaganda. Unauthorized, unscripted, and unintimidated.
Unintimidated.
This is America Unplugged.
What's going on, everybody? It's America Unplugged. Hope everybody is doing well. Greetings and blessings, as usual. My name is Billy Ray Valentine, and I am here with Tony Arterburn, the wisest of all the wolves. Tell him what's up, sir. How you doing? You look like you're ready to go hunting.
I just might. I might, you know, look, they're going to put millions of dancing nurses out of work with this latest bill passed by Congress. I don't know if our economy can stand it. Mm-hmm. So I may have to hunt for my own food.
And when my entertainment is really going to plummet, you know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to watch? So maybe I'll take up hunting as well and kill myself in the process because I have no idea what I'm doing. Don Jeffries, the legendary. What is up, sir? Say what's up to the people.
Yeah, you and me both, Billy. I wouldn't be able to survive in the wild without the internet for probably 6 hours. So, you know, it's actually it'd find me in a daze with all the millennials looking at their cell phones, probably. But I'm too plugged in. But yeah, no, it's good to be here with you guys as always.
All right, man. A lot went on this week. I felt like a lot's going on. Yeah. Trump keeps winning, you know, or you know, they keep delaying all of these trials. Something's happening, right? They say that the deep state is weaponized and it's against Donald Trump. Well, you know, it looks a little bit different now, right? But no, this just means that the Patriots are in control, I guess, you know, so everything is getting delayed and that's what that means. Anyway, so we have that and we will talk about Trump and blaming AI on everything that's being done against him because this is the new thing. We're going to blame AI on everything, right? We just went over really quickly an article on deepfakes with Tony. I don't know how this is going to go. We're going to talk about the TikTok ban. That's going to be interesting to discuss. Of course, Don Jeffries' favorite prosecutor, Mrs. Fannie Willis. You know, we're gonna discuss her and the things that are going on with all that. Where do you want to start, Don? I'll turn it over to you. We got Ben Shapiro too talking about you got to work forever.
Yeah, there is a lot. Stuff going on. I don't know. Well, I mean, I just wrote a Substack about that, about Ben Shapiro and Trump, who made a comment about there are lots of places, lots of things you can do about cutting it. And people get mad at me. No, he said it. I mean, you know, he says other stuff too. But this is the Republican alternative. And this is why it's such a disaster. This uniparty, which is a uniparty, but it's two poisonous branches because you have the crazy, evil, woke 57 genders monstrosity of the Democrats. But the Republicans are no alternative. Their alternative is to look at all. I gave examples. Social Security, and I wrote about this in Survival of the Richest. They've had scandals involving illegal immigrants in Social Security for years, and the IRS knows and doesn't care that you have Social Security employees selling Social Security numbers to illegals that they can get benefits from. You have this thing called the Additional Child Tax Credit, which citizens don't have, but they can just claim they have. They can say, I have 15 children in Mexico. Nobody checks, and they get $1,000 child tax credit for each one. The IRS knows about it. They don't care. And I don't see Ben Shapiro or anybody else talking about that. No, they're talking about old American citizens who are getting – and by the way, Joe Biden is supposedly paying illegal immigrants $2,200 a month. Oh, yeah. You know, they're setting them up in hotels and free health. That's a perk no citizen gets. That's more than a lot of people get from Social Security is that they're paying into it for the entire lifetime. But again, I don't hear them talking about that. They all, and this is why the Republicans are such a disaster. Right. They always look there first. They look at the place that's least likely to get them votes too. That's a real winning political strategy. They want to cut them. They want to eliminate the minimum wage and get rid of Social Security. I mean, that's their strategy. Who do they think that's going to appeal to? Even if just on a political basis, but this guy came out and you can see it. Retirement is stupid. And he's so uninformed. He actually thinks that the people collected 65 at 67 now. He doesn't even know that. I mean, it's full retirement. And he also thinks that, life expectancy's gone up. Life expectancy has been plummeting in the last several years. So he didn't even know what the hell he's talking about. But again, this is, anyhow, that's the alternative. So yeah, I spent enough time bad-mouthing the woke Democrats, but this is this is your alternative here, folks. That's why they call them the stupid party. I mean, it'll never happen, but it's just the fact that they think
let's this hope not. Let's hope not, Don. I hope it never happens. This is getting ridiculous. You know, like, I mean, but this is coming from a man that's never worked a hard day's work in life.
Exactly.
You know, ever. He doesn't know what it's like to do. I mean, this guy is just such a piece of filth. Like, I can't believe I ever even took time to listen to him. You know, and I used to listen all the time until I realized that guy has no idea what he's talking about. Anyway, Tony, what's up? Let's work forever. We have, you know, I mean, we're here. We may as well. I mean, what are we going to do for 20 years anyway? When, you know, we can't, you know, with our health declining and everything else. I mean, we may as well continue to work.
Well, I think one of the greatest lines about the neocons, which Ben Shapiro is certainly one, is that they're often clever, never wise. and there's a tell in here. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, for sure, that comment would have never came out of mainline conservative talk radio. I've been in talk radio for many years now. It's because they're ignoring that demographic that Don's talking about. They've totally written it off. The aging, you know, the European stock or whatever you want to call it, the aging base of the United States.
Right.
Okay. They're ignoring that. The baby boomer, the bulk of that, they've passed that over. And that's not who Ben Shapiro's talking to anymore. He's talking to, they're triangulating a certain demographic to neutralize. It's kind of like QAnon, but they dress it up differently. And they give you voices like Ben Shapiro, who he loves war. Right. He loves war, loves the supremacy of the state, unless the state is helping anyone. Then he wants to make sure they take that away from you. He wants the state only to project war and violence. And that's somebody like Ben Shapiro. And he represents, I think, first of all, when he's over at Breitbart and getting instructions from Mossad, you know, and this is a guy whose loyalties can be questioned and his judgment should be questioned across the board. Ben Shapiro is a gatekeeper. Keeping you from actually thinking and saying ridiculous things like this. And if you look through history, I mean, Don wrote Survival of the Richest, but, you know, history is a series of wealth concentrations and then redistributions. And most of the time that's violent. There's been some wise rulers throughout history who always give a release valve, you know, from that wealth concentration. Look, I'm a free market guy. I like capitalism in so many ways, but I think it has to be tempered with some judgment about human nature and reality. Not everyone is an entrepreneur. Not everyone is going to try to go make a fortune. There's just regular people. There's just okay. It has to be. And we need to celebrate that. And one of the ways that you ensure that you don't have a collapse of your society is to help people. I mean, I'm not for nothing. I think there has to be a release valve, and I think social programs. And look, if you look at I don't like Social Security particularly, but the concept of it coming out of the 30s, when, you know, Franklin Roosevelt, when he took office, he was worried he was going to be the last president. Okay, so it wasn't a game like, oh, well, we're going to see what works. And they threw a lot of stuff out there. What was it, the National Relief Agency, Don? It was the NRA before before we understood what the NRA was.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, they tried everything. So,
no, and it was in response to people like my boy Huey Long, because Huey Long, we were talking beforehand about that. He was advocating a 30-hour, maybe 20-hour work week in the 1930s and a month vacation for all workers. This was then. And because of him in 1938, the one good legislation, the best legislation that came out of FDR was the, I forget what the name was, 1938, but it created the 40-hour work week. And it created overtime. There was no such thing as overtime. It created, you had people like my grandparents, great grandparents, never went on vacations, never saw the ocean because there was no such thing as vacation leave for working people. My grandfather worked 12 hours a day, 365 days a year as a security guard. He got to come home for lunch on Christmas, and that was typical then. And that's what Huey Long was seeing out there. And that's why I get so pissed off at these Republicucks, because this is the kind of nonsense. They want to eliminate the minimum wage. They want to bring back child labor. And that's why they love immigration as much as right. the Democrats do, because they want that cheap labor. They don't want to pay people anything. If they could get away with slavery and be a support of it, they would love that, because they don't want to pay workers anything. That's their mindset.
Well, you take away these people on fixed income, like my grandmother. She's born in 1935. She's on Social Security. She's getting the Social Security, you know, from my grandfather who passed away. That's what she lives off of.
Right.
But she paid into that system her whole life as a working adult. She's not supposed to get it because the bloodsuckers in Washington botched the deal and, of course, printed us into oblivion. They still owe that. You know, this is a responsibility of the generation next to make sure that gets paid and gets funded, especially those who paid into it. Again, I'm not counting on Social Security, but I'm not Ben Shapiro saying you should eliminate it. Yeah. You know, he's got a life of privilege, right? And by the way, it's like people that built this country or owed their Social Security. What did Ben Shapiro do? Him and his ideological ilk have presided over the most stunning decline in the nation since the fall of the Soviet Union. So I don't really take advice from Ben Shapiro, and I don't think anybody should.
And I mean, you shouldn't really, I mean, people from our generation, Tony, you know, and younger generations, we shouldn't rely on Social Security, right? We should not. But we should also realize that it is unfortunately a necessity given the circumstances that this system has put us in. And yes, I blame the system. I don't blame the people. I blame the system. And this is why people get upset with capitalism. And this is why there's a backlash with capitalism amongst the young people out here today.
Yes.
Because they see this. Go ahead. What's up, Tom?
And this is why Don is so right about Huey Long. Anytime there's a real solution, they get rid of those people. They get rid of anybody with a real solution to everyday problems in reality. And that's one of the reasons why if you go and dig deeper into this, we're not just talking about like surface level politics. The reason that our system is so messed up, and this is, you can either talk about Cloward and Piven, which is they use that, they want to create a more totalitarian Marxian system. So they smash the things that are good by overloading it, bringing in unskilled, undocumented people, bankrupting the system. That's Cloward and Piven. But if you go a step further in this, if you believe in the conspiracy theory of history, that's why the concept of communism and Marxism and revolutions, look at who funded Karl Marx. Look at this shadowy group called the League of Just Men back in the 19th century with ties to the House of Rothschild. Why did they create this worldwide movement? It's because it's supposed to be any type of solution is thrown into that sphere. Like if you got any sort of idea to do any sort of social programs, it's automatically thrown into that bucket. So there's two things going on here. It's like destroying a system that had worked for a long time and again, changed the nature of people in retirement, and then, you know, bankrupting it on top of the fact that the most powerful and the elite have often wanted to keep you away from any of those type of solutions by showing you how bad it would be at the very end of that, which would be communism.
That's why I keep going back to Huey Long, because again, it's just he's the only politician I know of, and I've studied politics, that gave promised tangible things to people and delivered on them. You look at what he did to Louisiana. He paved the state. He was the first person to have free healthcare clinics. Before Huey Long, prisoners didn't get any medical treatment. Huey Long invented all that stuff. He even made the phone booths. He wanted whatever the national average was. He said, no, we're going to pay a nickel. Everybody else paying a dime. I mean, he did things for the poor people, and he did it all. He did all these great I have the stats in Survival of the Richest. He delivered tangible results. So every family paid a certain amount that was significant less for utilities and taxes. He eliminated personal property taxes for all but the very wealthy. And he did it all. This is the most important thing. He did it all with the third lowest operating costs of any state because he knew how to do it. He went after Standard Oil, who was his arch enemy. He went after the people who were the real power brokers. That's why his Share the Wealth program, he was going to exempt when he wanted to redistribute the wealth, he wanted to set up a new system of taxation where the first $1 million of income would be untaxed. There would be no tax on it. That was in the 1930s. That's $12 million or so today. So who could have opposed that system? You know who did. He was going after the absolute top levels of the 1%, and that's why he was killed. He was no typical Democrat, LBJ, or FDR, Harry Truman, or anybody like that. He knew who the real power brokers were, and he delivered results. That's why to this day, he in black and white homes all throughout Louisiana, they still have pictures of him hanging there because he was a hero to the poor. That's why he's still my hero.
This is a really simple to fix. These things are they're simple solutions that can be implemented, but half of the country will fight people on it, will fight legislation that favors the people, yep, because of the political brainwashing that's gone on to a degree about, you know, everything is socialist, you know, and you can't have that right now. Now, Bernie Sanders is introducing the 4-day work week here in the United States. It's been done around the world and it's apparently produced success even in capitalistic societies, right? Like production has gone up according to the statistics that I've read and what's being reported. How many people on the right are going to fight this and say that it's ridiculous and say that it's un-American? Working 5, sometimes 6 hours a day, just scraping by, saying this stuff. Right.
And from 1938, man, they don't want overtime. I talked about there have been efforts to try to eliminate overtime. Right. They want to go back to the good old days when the average person worked every day. And, you know, those who won't work, won't eat and all that nonsense. You know, that's what they believe. This is their philosophy. And it comes through. I mean, to the idea that when, you know, the vast majority of people aren't being paid enough as it is now, that their idea is to get rid of the minimum wage. I've asked them before, who is that going to help? How is that help? Oh, that'll freeze up anything. And they say, what do you mean that free? That makes no sense. You think these benevolent people that run corporations, you think they're not going to take advantage of that? And they're not going to pay people $2 an hour if they can? Are you kidding?
Right.
That this suddenly, out of the goodness of their hearts, they'll actually pay them more? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, anybody with a brain knows that what a lie that is. Again, they're just shilling for corporate America. And that's why there are no alternatives to the Democrats.
No, that's why we're in the situation that we're in. We should talk about Aaron Rodgers, actually. not the shift, but this took me to, yeah, RFK for some reason in my mind, and he has asked Aaron Rodgers to be his vice president. Short list. It's Aaron Rodgers, Jesse the Body Ventura, whom I actually think that's a pretty good pick, right? Even though, you know, I don't agree with everything Ventura has said, but he's at least the most transparent politician that I've seen or whatever. There's him. Said Rand Paul. I don't know. I don't know how that helps. That's just name recognition, I think. I think what RFK Jr. is doing is trying to get the most publicity. And it's not a bad freaking strategy, to be honest. We need to realize, well, I think the politicians realize this. They realize the culture that they're in. I know the Biden administration realizes it. Look at the State of the Union and what they did with it. They knew exactly what they needed to do. You know, it pissed off people that were like, oh, it should have been a real State of the Union. But that's not what they were aiming for. And I think RFK realizes this. He took out a Super Bowl commercial, paid $7 million for it, you know, and he got good reviews out of it. And then he's like, who can we get to be the vice president of the United States? I don't want to ask The Rock. Be like, dude, what are you doing? Come be my vice president. You know, you just got to get the biggest high profile name. If this was ever a popularity contest, this is what it is now. Is this you know, this is what it's become. So Aaron Rodgers is a high profile name. I think it's a smart move for him. I think it's a bad move overall. And I think it's bad for Donald Trump. And it's good for Joe Biden what they're doing here with this. Right. Because who supports Aaron Rodgers' views? Aaron Rodgers is going out there talking about 9/11 truth, Sandy Hook, and whatever the hell else.
Yeah.
Right. Who supports that? This is not good for Donald Trump. Ultimately, just keep that in mind when November comes around, ladies and gents. All right, Tone, what's up?
Well, I'm for some chaos on this. I think chaos. RFK Jr. ought to announce that he's going to pick JFK Jr. I think we should have the merger of QAnon and third party candidates. I'm ready. I want to put that together. I think this is an opportunity for his third party candidacy to get some traction. He's looking for headlines. Always, you know, already talking about the VP pick. That could be an opportunity. Maybe you do something like The Voice, where they're turned around like the chair, like you have an audition. Maybe you do something live. You text in, and it's a dollar donation. I don't know. Something you could do. You know, look, we everything is a reality show. Might just take it to the next level. 2024, we will see more happening in the third party movements. Libertarians have yet to nominate anyone. I don't know about the Green Party. I know there will be other candidacies, other factors coming into this election. It's going to be really strange. But you know, Jesse Ventura, that's just if you I used to watch before. RT is like TikTok. RT got banned in the U.S. got pulled.
Yeah,
used to be over on Russia Today. That's what I would play in my office.
And yeah,
I was surprised by a lot of the things that he said. Over the last couple of years, it really surprised me, given that he was the guy that hosted Conspiracy Theory. I mean, regarding COVID 1984, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I thought of that earlier. I think we were in the group text, and you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. You and Don were going back and forth on that this last week.
Right, man. As soon as I saw, I was in a car. I was in an Uber. And it was on sports radio here in New York. They're like, Aaron Rodgers, dude. Like, what are we gonna do as Jet fans? They were like, how is he supposed to play quarterback for the Jets? What is he gonna ask for? You know, how much vacation time is he gonna need when he's running the country? How's he supposed to help us? You know, that. So I thought it was pretty funny, and immediately I'm like, wait a minute, this is real. You know, so I texted you guys immediately. I was like, oh my god, Aaron Rodgers, because I knew Don would. Would like that to a certain degree. Don, right. Tell him what's up.
Well, yeah, and I hope it doesn't happen, because Aaron Rodgers is still one of my fantasy quarterbacks, so I don't think he'll be employed if that's the case. Right. But I don't know how that works. But yeah, RFK Jr., those are names that they're meant to appeal to the MAGA and independent people. And, you know, they're all – I mean, Rand Paul, why would – again, he's reaching across the aisle. And that's a brilliant move on his part. I don't know that Rand Paul would do it, but that's something, because I guarantee you Trump won't reach out to Rand Paul. And his Jesse Ventura, you know, I was on Jesse's RT show a few times. I think the interviews used to be out there, but I think they've scrubbed them. I don't think you can find them anymore. I don't know, maybe Chris Graves can find them or something, but they were out there. And but I think Jesse. I think he's got a pretty good case of Trump derangement syndrome. I'm not sure, but I know he was very pro you know, vaccine and believed all that. So I don't know how that would seemingly clash with RFK Jr., but I don't know. Maybe it's a unifying ticket, but I like his choices a lot better than what you're going to hear from Trump. Cause you know, you're going to wait till you get Trump's choices. I'm telling you, he'll float out some good ones, but there's no way he's picking anybody good. Just like, well, we'll talk about the Fannie Willis thing. Yeah. But it's all part of the Trump inside project. And one of the things is Trump never can do anything that will actually please his thinking supporters. He just teases them, says, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. And then he always throws them a curveball, plays 4D chess and does the opposite thing. And they don't appear to notice. So that's what he'll do here. It'll be Tim Scott, or don't rule out Nikki Haley, I'm telling you. Or, you know, somebody like that. Maybe he'll Lindsey Graham, somebody like that. He'll pick somebody terrible because that's what he does. That's the Trumpenstein project.
Pence just came out and said he's not going to endorse Trump, so that's a perfect pick for Trump.
Perfect, yeah. This time it'd be great because Trump wasn't a never-Trumper before. I predict that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you. I think he'll get up a list of never-Trumpers who he can pick, and that's what he'll do.
Yeah.
Maybe Liz Cheney. Why not Liz Cheney?
Mike Pence to be my vice president. Yeah, you know, he's probably going to pick Tim Scott, right? Tim Scott is a disaster. Good. Yeah,
he gives him nothing. God. That's ridiculous. You know,
he's probably going to go that route. But they said that on the short list was like Katie Britt up until that disaster that happened when she did the response. But he was thinking about her because she's like 40 and she's a pretty good looking woman, you know, and she's supposed to be like well spoken. But then, you know, her Neuralink glitched out live on air. So she's off of the list.
Well, maybe Christy Noem's attractive and she just passed the anti-Semitic law. So she's got that going for her. So that had to help her chances, I would think.
Right, you know, so that's probably it's either going to be a woman or a black person.
Yeah, guys.
That's what's going to happen here because this is what politics has become.
Personally, I think maybe it was always
like this. I don't know. What's up, Tony? What were you going
to
say?
We should go back to the original intent, which is the loser is the vice president. That's the way that the country started.
Yeah.
Go back to the original intent. That was the whoever got the second amount of votes. Right. If you came in second, you're vice president.
Hmm.
And they stopped with Andrew Jackson, who was the first, you know, with the popular election. You know, they were all voted in by Congress all the way up from Washington to John Quincy Adams. And the loser was vice president. Well, again, it didn't happen with Andrew Jackson that way. But that's they did that originally.
Well, Trump Biden 2024.
Let's do it. I think that would be great. That would make pure WWE, that'd be great.
after Trump wins the election to everybody else, he has to take Biden as his vice president, who's the second runner up. But then that's rigged too. It would be rigged that he got the vice presidency. That's how he got it. Or otherwise, we would get Biden on top and Trump as the vice president. You know, it would certainly be must watch television for the entirety of 2024. See, at the very least, if Trump wins in 2024, we get 4 years of gold entertainment.
Yep.
You know, so that will be great. Make entertainment great again.
That's why I'm supporting him. I'm telling you, I, the only hope I have is I'll get be able to watch CNN and MSNBC's ratings will go through the roof.
Trump live from Alcatraz. You know, tell us about Fannie Willis real quick, Don. We're gonna hit TikTok at some point, but I want to talk about Fannie Willis real quick.
It's just I told people, and I don't make predictions, but I could have made this one. That was when you saw like 3 or 4 days ago, inexplicably this absurd. I mean, he's a super a cuck on super steroids. This young bald guy that's McAfee, that's the judge here. First of all, he worked for Fannie Willis. Mm-hmm. Donated her campaign and his wife did too. So automatically he should recuse himself. And he let her run the courtroom. I mean, she was stomping all over him. And just you've seen judges. Judges love the bank. If somebody says anything that makes any sense, hey, one more outburst and I'll hold you in contempt.
Yeah.
You sneeze too loud. But she was doing everything she could. And not only that, she confessed to taking money from her campaign and having large amounts of cash in her house, which is suspicious for most people, whether it should be or not, and paying this guy, her lover, was $600,000, some ridiculous amount of money. I mean, she, at the very least, is improprieties there. And I'm sure the Trump people, being the part of the stupid party, I'm sure to the extent that they're not in on it, they thought, oh, we've got a dead to rights and everything. And you're not paying attention to who that judge is. So then a few days ago, suddenly, it's like 57 genders. He had like 46 charges against him. So it's like the number of genders. What the hell were, you know, how many things can they charge him with in election? But they dropped like 5 or 6 of the charges. And I saw the Republicucks and I saw Alex Jones talking about how this is a win, Fannie's on the ropes and all this stuff. And I said, no. The Trumpenstein Project, part of the script is that Trump never wins. He has to lose every time. That's the Trumpenstein. And his people have to still continue to claim he's winning while he's losing. It's like, if you remember the Monty Python, the great thing from Monty Python, where the Black Knight, first he gets his arm cut off and his other arm, and he keeps saying, oh, you come back, you little sissy, and fight. You know, he's got no appendages left. That's where the Trump people are now. They've got all their arms and legs cut off, and they're still claiming that the Democrats are on the ropes. This anybody knew when he threw them a crumb because they're dumb enough to think that was a win. Oh, see, he's already dropped some charges against Trump. And so he's won. Trump's won. And I said at the time, he did that on purpose because he knows you're so stupid that when he rules that she can continue on the case, which he will, there was never a doubt of that.
Right, right.
You'll somehow still think Trump won. And that's what they're doing. They're still, you know, I was listening to Alex Jones and I'm saying, come on, man. This is a charade. This woman is, and I personally now think Fannie Willis is one of the greatest crisis actors I've ever seen. Because she, there's no way this is a legitimate district attorney, but they came out and they said, okay, this is what central casting is, like AOC and all these other people that they're getting. So, okay, we're going to find the most arrogant black woman we can, the one that is like would be a nightmare to every Trump supporter. And that's who we're going to put this prosecutor in. We're going to make her outspoken and we're going to have to say things on the stands like that should have gotten her disqualified. Like, I will not emasculate a black man, which my question would be, would you emasculate a non-black man?
What the hell does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly. But nobody challenged her on it. So Fannie is playing a part. Just like it's no accident that these are the people that are prosecuting Trump. And I'm sorry, this is the Trumpenstein project. And it's looking more and more like, because they claim he's so far ahead in these fake polls and everything. I think, I still think the scenario might be for Trump to be serving his term in office from prison. I think they may be working on a studio now to try to get the prison cell set up and how he's going to, function from his fake prison.
Well, the thing is, right, and I think I mentioned in the beginning, I made a mistake. It's Nathan Wade is the prosecutor. That's what I was referring to in the beginning of the show. But anyway, yeah, he had to step down. So that's why I didn't think they got a win off of this. But the thing is, right, where Trump has gotten some wins is in delaying all of this stuff. Right. All of these, I think without exception, every case is delayed to the point where they don't even have a start date at this point. So if he does win the presidency, he's not going to jail. I think when Biden wins, and I'm saying when Biden wins, guys, I think when he wins, he's going to pardon Donald Trump. I think that's what's going to happen. I really think that's what the WWE script has laid out for this guy. It's going to be a pardon. But he has gotten some victories. It's just nothing that's going to really change anything drastically, in my opinion. I don't know. Maybe. But Fannie Willis is a disaster. And you made a couple of good points with if that was, how many times did they smack Donald Trump with a gag order? Why didn't they hit Fannie Willis with one, with all the nonsense that she was talking about? She wants to be a celebrity. She went up in her church and started talking about all sorts of.
After she committed adultery, she went to her church and bragged about committing adultery. What kind of church?
No one cares, right? And then I saw CNN, and they had a panel of women reacting to Fannie Willis and the way Fannie Willis was, conducting herself. And they were like, well, she was just being assertive. She was just being assertive. I mean, she wasn't being assertive. She was being defiant, and very disrespectful, if you buy into this narrative and believe that it is real, right? If you buy into the fact that they're actually trying to bring charges and hold Trump accountable for something, Fannie Willis is the biggest screw up in this whole thing. Like, I mean, knowing that you have something of that that's that heavy, that it's such a huge responsibility. You go have sex with the guy you hired, bro, and you pay him all ridiculous amount of money, and then you let loose at the mouth, like giving him all the ammunition. Like, this woman is incredible. She should be gone from any of this. The judge should have slapped her with a gag order at the bare minimum. But this is not what we have. Tony, what's up, sir?
Well, all the world's a stage, as Shakespeare said. I think is part of what Don refers to as the Trumpenstein project. It's all part of the narrative, and it should show you It's a glaring example of why you never want to be involved in the legal system anywhere. All of our institutions are captured for the most part by these types of people. They all hang together. They all flow together. They all think pretty much alike. It's like when Gore Vidal mentioned, you know, there isn't so much of a conspiracy in Washington. They just all think alike. It's the open conspiracy of people that think alike, and the ruling class, they think they're above you. They protect each other. I've gone through court cases with my family. I had some egregious stuff happen to us by attorneys that we'd hired. And you try to tell the judge, like, hey, this attorney, I mean, this is a breach of ethics and attorney-client privilege. They don't care. I mean, it's shocking. It'd be shocking to you when you find out how little they care about justice or what's right or wrong. It's about who they're with. And so it's a big club and you ain't in it. And you look at and it's right. Trump has to lose. And then the job of his supporters are to tell you why that's 4D chess and then how it's going to win. And it's kind of like the sign in the bar, you know, free beer tomorrow. It's like that. It's like free beer tomorrow. We're going to win tomorrow. And, you know, originally he said, we're going to get so tired of winning, this is going to ask him to stop. Well, I don't know if he meant the other side or like the ruling class or that we want them to stop winning. I'm not sure. But yeah, this is an example why you need to stay out is of the injustice system, as Don refers to it, because that's the type of people. And that's not a surprise at all that there's no consequences for him.
No, nothing, nothing really, you know, But that's where we live. No real consequences for Donald Trump either. I don't think he's going to see any jail time, but we will see. Right? Well, he has had to pay a ridiculous amount of money, so let me not say no real consequences.
Well, supposedly. But again, I think all that's fake, too. I don't think he's really going to pay $400 million. I mean, this is a symbolic prosecution to let everybody know, hey, look, you dissent. Look what we did to Donald Trump, former president of the United States. Would do anything to you.
They said he paid $91 million already for suppose the other one of the other freaking cases. I don't even freaking know anymore.
That's what they say. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know.
Right. I have no idea. He's got it right. He's a billionaire. Like So what the hell? All right. A couple more things. Elon Musk. Let's do that, and then we'll close with TikTok, and then we'll get out. Tony, is there anything? Oh, Boeing. We need to talk Boeing also. Go ahead. Tell me about Boeing, Tony, and then we'll move.
Well, I just thought this is a really interesting piece of news. If you ever dive into corporations and some of the moves they can make that can be very dark.
Right.
Let's just say, let history be our guide. What do you think happened here? This is an open question. You have the main whistleblower for Boeing, worked there for 30 years, retired in 2017. He's been speaking out about the rushed projects. We're already seeing like doors coming off and planes falling and, you know, losing massive altitude and all this because shoddy parts, shoddy engineering, right, and a rush to get things out for the bottom line, supposedly. And this guy was giving depositions and making it his life's mission after to bring awareness for safety and like his conscience. And he's killed himself. He's told his, you know, best friend, if it's suicide, something happened to me, I didn't do it, you know. This is something to pay attention to. We have to ask ourselves, do we live in a society where people like this, and he just gotten done with the deposition. They're not done yet, but they're almost to the finish line. So what were they about to disclose? Was he about to disclose more? Was there a kind of an apex to this that's not going to ever come to fruition? I just thought when that headline hit, it's one of the most glaring, I think, opportunities for us to look deep into that and say, I don't believe this. Like this, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you really, to get into the psyche of a man who's competent, engineering, going to depositions, and then all of a sudden, no, I'm not going to finish this whole quest for my life. I think I'll end it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
What do you think about all this?
Yeah, no, he's exactly right. And there's a reason, you know, you're not going to get me up in the air until I have one of those flying Jetsons bubble cars. You know, I'm not going to go into these air. I mean, why would anybody trust these people? They're so incompetent at everything. And you have, it's so obvious, but we've seen this before, the DC madam and all these people who say, hey, I'm not going to commit suicide or I'm not going to, you know, somebody's going to get me. And then they die and it's just, okay, everybody shrugs. And that's probably what will happen here. I don't think there's going to be an investigation because this is all tied up with not only the shoddy workmanship we have now, because again, I imagine those people that work on airplanes probably aren't paid well like they used to be either, because again, they say everybody is paid effectively less. They don't have as much. I mean, I would think they'd still want to have enough, you know, morality to do the job right, but that doesn't mean they do. And then you have the DEI stuff, which is United and all these other, they're hiring, they're specifically looking for pilots that aren't white males. And they've already hushed up a couple, not big crashes, but like test crashes. They've hushed it up because they were DEI pilots. So do you, I mean, this is the ultimate insanity of wokeness. Do you want to get on a plane and you don't know whether the pilot was hired because of his skill or because of some kind of government initiative? And that's where we're, same thing with surgeons. They're doing, I mean, this is, we are insane where this stuff means more to them than people's safety. So I imagine it'll be swept under the rug, but I don't know. I haven't heard any, it'd be like the, I wrote on Substack before this about how these stories just go away. I guess my guess is that this dead whistleblower will go the way of the rabbis coming up out of the tunnels and the trucker rally at the border and all that stuff. I mean, it just vanished.
Gary Webb.
Yes. Yeah.
What was that, Tony?
Echoes of Gary Webb. Exposing the cocaine trade in the Central Intelligence Agency in the inner city.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, another American company, Boeing, you know, screwing things up in the air. Very, very, very nice. Airbus is the other one, right? I think we have those two. Yes. Boeing and Airbus. Airbus is not an American company, from what I understand. Fly Airbus, ladies and gents. Don't fly Boeing, because, I mean, not that you have a choice, I guess. I mean, maybe you do. I don't know. All right. What else do we have on the plate?
Well, somebody's rebuilding the Titanic. I suggested on my show that we bring back the Hindenburg. Somebody got to rebuild that thing.
Let's do it.
If you're rebuilding the Titanic, let's get some Zeppelins. I think I think maybe some Zeppelins would actually help us out. We could get to free up the highways and safely travel.
It's one of my favorite scenes in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Yes. when they're on the Zeppelin. Tickets, yeah, please.
There's a conspiracy in the anti-Zeppelin movement of the 30s. I think we'd have a much different society if we kept the Zeppelins.
Right. I was about to make a really corny Led Zeppelin joke.
Oh.
But I'm not going to do that because I refuse to be corny on purpose. Anyway. All right. I want to talk about Elon Musk because he literally fired Don Lemon because of an interview that came. I don't know if this is staged. It kind of looks kind of staged right now. I don't know. He interviews the guy. He gets fired from CNN. Elon gives him a platform on X. They have a contract worked out. His first guest is Elon Musk. Elon Musk gets pissed at a line of questioning. I didn't see anything glaring. Of course, the interview isn't out yet, but from whatever clips were put out, I really didn't see anything. I saw Elon Musk get upset, but I didn't see why. And then Don Lemon is gone from X, just like that. As much as this could be a complete and total work, I can believe that this guy is the biggest snowflake on the planet, meaning Elon Musk. I can believe that 100%. Don, what's up? What are you thinking about the situation?
Well, I don't know Don Lemon was interviewed. Why would Don Lemon want to work for Elon? That doesn't make any sense to begin with. I would think he'd be turned off by Musk, because the establishment spin on Musk is that he's this renegade and that he's, you know, anti-woke and all that. So Don Lemon is as woke as it gets. Why would he want to work with him anyhow? And I think you're exactly right. To me, it has all the earmarks of a public relations scripted thing. I don't, you know, I just can't imagine that would, I mean, to the degree that Don Lemon or Elon Musk or any of them are legitimate at all, that would be like, you know, me deciding, you know, I want to go ask for a job on Chuck E. Schumer's staff or something, you know, it makes no sense. So why would he do that? Except for Lemon would have a better chance, obviously, because of his name recognition. So I think it's just a story to distract the masses, in my mind.
Yeah. Let's see what the hell develops with it. It distracted me enough. I wanted to know about it, and I still do, right? I'm going to go ahead and listen to the interview. Tone, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm kind of the mind with you guys. It looks like scripted. Always a chance for PR. Always a chance to set the stage for, you know, X is maybe the home of conservatives or right wing or whatever that means to you. But I think one of the most apt things that Trump ever said is that Don Lemon was the dumbest man in television. He might be the dumbest man outside of television. I don't know. Apparently, he asked Elon Musk for one of those electric trucks. You know, he was going to like try to get that out of his deal with X. I'm not sure. Seems like a lot of drama. And, you know, again, this kind of harkens back to CNN did that. Didn't they? Who did they hire? Who was it? Chris Wallace. Remember that?
Yeah.
CNN had their own like streaming service and it only lasted like a week or something. Yeah. It was so short of amount of time.
Disaster.
Yes, a disaster. Yeah. Total flop, total failure.
Yeah, man. It had like, I don't know, anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 subscribers. I think that's all. I think 10,000 is a lot. So I think maybe they just had like 1,000 subscribers to the CNN really thing before it collapsed. And it collapsed fairly quickly. It is what it is. All right. So there's that. And there's TikTok. We can talk about Trump AI later on. Also, hold on. Let's talk about TikTok real quick. Tony, what do you think about the ban? And then we're going to go to Don real quick. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, real quick. I talked about it on my show. This is the best we can do. This is what Congress has a priority in. I mean, not that I would even agree with it ever, but you have to ask yourself, I mean, well, you're making it a priority to make a company that's operating in the U.S. divest itself because you don't know who owns it. Well, who owns the Federal Reserve? Why don't we get that bill passed? I don't know who owns the private banking consortium that runs my country and runs my currency. I don't know that. I mean, literally, the country is falling apart. But we can get together on a consensus to ban TikTok, which will have a cascading effect on speech. You know, Thomas Massey is exactly right. It's a Trojan horse. This is just death by 1,000 cuts. But this is where Don's totally right. It's the Republicucks. They always step in to make sure that we have something more awful. This is what voters rolled the rock up the hill for, to get a House majority. You know, all those people knocking on doors and whatever you did to get the turn it red. Well, you sure turned it red. It's definitely red out there. It's definitely Marxian red. With the type of censorship the precedence that's being set here. Now, it hasn't passed, but Joe Biden said he's going to sign it, whatever that means, or whoever his handlers are. And I think this is a travesty. I mean, again, I don't like TikTok. I make fun of it. I mean, we post some on for Wise Wolf and stuff. It's just a platform. And you talk about the CCP being involved. They're nothing compared to the parasites in Washington and those in the ruling class and Intel that are spying on us. You know, ask James Clapper, you know, ask him under oath again, if they're spying on us and using metadata and what they're storing out in Utah in those underground centers. Right? They just don't like TikTok because it has some sort of a competition with the control platforms that they created. And I find this to be a slap in the face to anyone who cares about where we are and understands the gravity of the situation, where the country is right now, that's our priority, and it disgusts me.
Don, what are you thinking?
Yeah, no, I agree with Tony. and I think, again, I think these things are scripted, and this was designed to give the Republicans, throw them a crumb and look like the right won something. Because most of us have a negative impression from TikTok, primarily because of all the crazed teachers and, you know, woke LGBTQ types that we see in the TikTok videos of where they look completely deranged and they seem insane. So of course, I was looking at like, oh my God, these people are doing it. But the impulse there shouldn't be to ban the whole platform, because there are also people on, there's some worthwhile things on TikTok, like all social media. And I'm against banning anything, but this looks like, again, it's like when the Republicans want to stop the pro-Palestinian sentiment on campuses. It's the exact same kind of thing. They reveal that they also are for censorship. It's just a different kind. And that's what we have here. And as for being concerned about China, so it looks like a victory where, you know, we're showing China. We're showing all this. Well, Billy Ray should know this. He used to work for the NBA, but China's all involved in the NBA. What happened to wasn't it LeBron James that refused to badmouth him or something? I mean, so how come they're not concerned about China being involved with the NBA and so many other things and Hollywood and everything else? Why just TikTok? Is it because TikTok was also known for having a lot of pro-Palestinian comments on there? They got a big audience? Is that, I don't know if that's possible, but I think it's much ado about nothing. And if it does get banned, I think it sets a bad precedent, because then it sets the precedent for in the future. Let's say a bunch of us are able to start up a real alternative social media platform. Well, they've already established they can ban these things, right? And instead of saying China, they could just, all they have to do is just claim off. Like, yeah, that's a Russian bot.
That's right.
Putin likes that. So yeah, it's a bad precedent. And anything they do, if they get it done, it's never for the good of the people.
Yeah. Bipartisanship. It's like George Carlin said, when it's bipartisan, that's when you know you're really getting screwed.
Yeah.
A couple of things on this, but before we leave today, right? Steve Mnuchin, right, is thinking about purchasing the American version of TikTok. I don't even know, right? And Peter Thiel, right, are getting involved to try to work this out. I don't think that's going to happen. Right? It doesn't make much sense to me. I don't know if a ban will happen, but I think it shows that I don't see how this is productive for the right, even though it is a win, quote unquote, right? Because it's China and China spying on you. So we have to ban it because China spying on you, right? So we can't let China spy on you. Only Americans can spy on other Americans, right? I mean, that's the thing. But the base and the biggest recruitment tool for the alternative right and for the MAGA movement and for Christian nationalism comes straight out of TikTok and straight out of Instagram and straight out of platforms like Telegram that are still the wild, wild west. They come out of there. That's where people get their information. And that's where you will find all the stuff that you used to find on YouTube before. So this can backfire in some ways when one of your main tools for mind colonization is taken away. And I don't know if they're really looking at it in that manner. This is why I don't think it'll happen. And if it does happen, it'll just be replaced by something else that they can totally profit off of and spy without discrimination. I think that's probably the thing here. Nobody wins. Well, the people certainly don't win here. This is a struggle amongst the elite for elite purposes, right? I know people don't like to call them the elite, just fill in the blank, call them whatever you want. I think that's what we're looking at here. It's a problem. All right. America Unplugged. What time is it here? It's time to go, right? Tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to go live on the channel. I'm doing an Infinite Fringe with Neil Sanders and Brent Lee. We're going to be Brent Lee is a guy that used to be a conspiracy theorist, and he's gone fully in the other direction. And I have some problems with some of the stuff that he says. It seems to be a nice guy. So we're going to have a talk about that, even though we agree on a lot. We disagree on some key things. So we're going to discuss that. And that'll be live here on Rockfin, if I can make that happen. So 12 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, I'm going to do that. InfiniteFringe.podbeam.com. Tony Arterburn, tell them what's up. Tell them where they can find you.
Well, you can find my website is arterburn.news, and the sponsor of this program is wolfpack.gold. We have some exciting announcements coming out very soon. Stay tuned to the channels. Check out the podcast, Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show, and anywhere podcasts are found, Arterburn Radio Transmission. Subscribe to that. Got some neat stuff coming out, like I said, with Wolfpack, which is our monthly membership program. Free silver right now with promo code 1776. You can go to wolfpack.gold. Check it out.
Hey, thank you for everybody that tuned in today. Donald Jeffries, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, well, as always, Substack is the main place for me because I'm not shadow banned there and I'm shadow banned everywhere else. It's DonaldJeffries.substack.com, although it's easing up a little under Twitter under the benevolent Elon Musk, Don Lemon's former employer, at Don Jeffries there. You can try to get me there. And, of course, my books are out everywhere. The American Memory Hole was supposed to come out in the spring. It's been delayed. I think it's going to come out in August now. So look for that then. In the meantime, any love you can show, especially the Masking the Truth, because they're just messing with that. It's unbelievable what they're doing. It's the most shadow banned book in the world. But I appreciate all the support. DonaldJeffries.substack.com. Please subscribe to me at Substack if you don't, because the only place I'm not shadow banned.
Shout out the YouTube people, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, we got lots of Liz. And I got to say again, the audience is fantastic. But where are you guys on Fridays? Are you all working? I don't see anywhere near these amount of people in Fry protest. So please don't forget about my show. White Wolf, Stephanie Green, Liz the Iron Maiden, Dawn Lambert, Harps, of course, Rocky USA, Sam's Bodie's Tree, Chris Buchan, who got in a nice job at women. He said, who cares what women think? So he's an equal opportunity offender. Karen Carpenter, Harold Stonewall, Danny Witten Archive. There's a lot of people in here. Let's see who else I think.
Where's Deborah Wheeler?
Oh, Deborah, I don't think she's on here today. She was there yesterday. Deborah Wheeler is just wonderful. And I did thank her for you, too.
Thank you. I want to thank her myself, but thank you so much.
I don't think she's in her Twisted Pistol. If she is, she hasn't commented. Chris Buchan, of course.
Let me get everybody on Twitter. What's up to all of you? I don't know who's there, but there's tons of people on Twitter. What's up to you? Steve Swan, Jason Barker, what's going on? The man, Mr. Gardner Goldsmith was in the chat. What's up, sir? Mandeer, the sexiest chimera I know, half man, half deer, half amazing. What's going on? How you doing? Thank you for being here. Tom Cooper, TMP, what's going on? You guys are doing your thing tonight. I might be hanging with Mr. Cooper tonight. Let's see if we can make that happen. I'm not sure. We will see. Angus Mustang, what's going on, sir? How are you? Always good to see you. Free Thinker 59, Patrick S. Greetings to both of you. Who else did I see? I saw Colin Wysong in the chat. 316. Oh, hell yeah. Everybody crack open a Steve Weiser and, and if you have, somebody you don't like, you know, just kick them in the stomach, give them a stunner. It's 316 day, ladies and gentlemen. Shouts to Stone Cold Steve Austin, one of the greatest of all time. Riley is in the chat. Free Mind is in the chat. Rhonda is in the chat. I saw her earlier. Yekka is in the chat. What's going on to all of you? Greetings and blessings. Man, I'm going to keep scrolling to see if I see new names, man. I know there were more people, but I can't get all the names, and that's a wrap. I think we'll keep going. I don't know. Jason Barker, what's up, buddy? I see you. All right, everybody else, I guess I'll catch you next week, man. I'm still scrolling. It was an active chat today. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And Chris, what's up? How are you? Good to see you as usual. Karen Carpenter, greetings and blessings. Karen pulls like double duty in supporting Jimmy Jean at night. And then she wakes up and supports America Unplugged. We appreciate you, Karen. Thank you so much. Junkyard TX, what is going on? How are you? Thank you for being here. That's all we got, I think. I'm still scrolling, but a lot of the same names are popping back up. All right. Tony, play us the hell out of here, man.
You got it. Go.
Don't burn the place down while we're gone. Beautiful stuff. Bye.